Hey guys, I'm Trent.
And I'm Garrett.
And we're Critically Awesome.
Action! Say what again! Say what again!
You're gonna see some serious shit.
I'll be back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That word is dairy.
Critically Awesome.
Critically Awesome.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Season 3, Episode 1, and we are back from our month-long hiatus. In this week's episode, we are taking a field trip to BransonCon at the beautiful Welk Resort Theater in Branson, Missouri. We will be giving you a rundown of all the events going on at the con, as well as some awesome interviews with Josh Farley, a magician, and the spokespeople, Josh Grisham and Tim Church, who are the host of Nerd Informants. Yeah.
That was totally your radio voice, Trent.
Well, isn't that what we're supposed to be using?
Yeah. I'll dial it down just a little bit. But
I can't. I'm stuck in this voice for the whole day.
Yeah, probably. How was your hiatus, Trin?
My hiatus was actually quite interesting. I played a lot of video games. I did a lot of fun stuff with... I worked a lot.
Yeah.
I did. I worked quite a bit. It got really busy. I actually have some pretty cool news. We actually got a handwritten letter from one of the people who host our podcast on their platform, from Kyrie FM.
Oh, that's cool.
They sent me a handwritten letter saying, thank you so much for being a part of our podcast or our platform. And they also gave us a couple stickers. So when we get back to the house tonight, we'll definitely give you a sticker so that you get a little Kyrie FM. So go ahead and check that out, Kyrie.fm. And there's a whole, it's like Podcast Mo. It's a host engine that's got a bunch of different podcasts on there, and it's definitely a really cool place. So
it's still pretty new, right?
It is very new. It's in the beta testing phase. So check it out, Kyrie.fm. Critically Awesome is on there, and so are several other podcasts that are from all around the country. It's really cool. Really cool thing. Speaking of Podcast Mo, Garrett, you want to tell us a little bit about Podcast
Mo?
Yeah,
so if you guys like listening to podcasts and you want podcasts that are in the state of Missouri, if you go to podcastmo.com, it gives you, I don't know, about 50 or so podcasts that are actually in the state of Missouri. We featured some of those podcasts' hosts on our podcast in Season 2, so go check those out. We had... Chris Cowan, we had Kyle Foshi. I don't think we had anyone else, but
well, not yet. Anyways, I know that we've got a few in the
we have some in
books.
the books for Season 3. If you want any podcasts that are in the state of Missouri, like us, we're on there as well. Go to podcastmode.com, and you're gonna see it there.
All right, so let's go ahead and run down into our at home recommendations.
You saw Joker?
I finally saw the movie Joker.
I haven't seen it.
It was amazing.
I feel like I got to look at you.
This is really weird.
I know.
I'm so used to looking at you through a screen.
I know, this is
weird. This is fun, but I
got to look at you, though, because...
I got to look at you because I want to serenade you with my sexy voice.
Hey, there goes Team Rocket.
But Joker... What an amazing movie that I finally got to see. It kind of makes me want to change some of the stuff that we said on our last Joker podcast that we had. And kind of try to make it make a little bit more sense, because I was going off of what I was assuming was going on. And so Joker isn't like what I was expecting him to be as with the plot of this movie. It is the mental disillusion of a man breaking down and just going crazy, and everything was going wrong with him. So it was also a really good film, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. If I push pause again. All right. We took a small break, sorry. Anyways, Joker was in a fantastic movie that I gave it a 90 on the critical potato scale.
Wow.
And I'm actually lowballing it. I'd give it a 95, actually, on the critical potato scale. Almost certified 100% fresh potatoes. That's
nice.
So
I gotta really see it then. I think it's on.
It's on Amazon Prime right now. You can rent it or you can buy it.
All right, cool. And yeah, I'll have to rent it.
Definitely. I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm gonna get the physical copy though, because Joaquin Phoenix what an amazing actor. He is a fantastic actor, and the way that he took the Joker and made him more human and not just some guy who fell into a chemical vat at Acme. Acme is Warner Brothers, but whatever. Well, hey, Acme is Warner Brothers, and so is Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm sure the Acme is in Batman, I'm sure.
But instead of Ace Chemicals, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
So he's a clown, and that's actually what his profession is, too, is he's an actual, like, hired clown, and he goes around to children's parties and stuff, and you just kind of see him slowly dissolve into somebody who he's not. Like, at the beginning, he's just kind of a normal person that gets made fun of all the time, and people pick at him and call him stupid names and all this other stuff, and then it gets to him, and it gets to him, and somebody gives him a gun, and that's when he just snaps.
Yeah.
After he gets a gun from somebody to defend himself because he gets beat up all the time, he just snaps, and then he keeps going and spiraling down and down and down, and then just amazing climactic finish at the end of the movie with Robert De Niro and everything. It is just...
I need to see it. I need
it's
to see
crazy.
It.
Like, it is an experience. It's not a movie. It is an experience. And it's taking what Hollywood has been copying and pasting forever, making it new and making it fresh and making it feel like a Tarantino movie almost, but not quite Tarantino-esque.
Like it shows instead of tells?
Yes. And it's a story. It is not an origin story to where it's copy and paste. This is what they did, blah, blah, blah. This is an origin story that is an actual story.
Okay.
And you feel involved, and you feel empathy. You feel empathy for one of the biggest bad guys in the entire comic book realm. You know, you can say, oh, Darkseid, oh, Joker, or Thanos is the biggest. No, Joker is by far the most famous and the most bad guys there is.
Huh, I'll definitely have to give it. I've been wanting to see it. I just need to check it out then.
Also, we're going to flip over to the TV realm. This Is Us has started playing again, and you want to talk about emotional heartstrings. This show, if you don't end the show every episode almost in tears or going, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Why are you doing this to me? Or if you don't end the show saying, oh my God, I'm a crappy husband, or oh my God, I'm a crappy dad. What am I doing with my life? Jack is just really showing me up. It's just 90 minutes of, man, I'm not that good of a dad. This guy's amazing. And he's so good looking, too. Like, if I was... No, never mind. But This Is Us, always going to be a 90 on my critical potato scale. If you have Hulu, you can always watch the newest episodes on there. Also on Hulu, which is also on Fox, too, is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That's an amazing show.
Have you seen any of the new episodes?
No, because it's not... Is it on Hulu
yet?
It
is on Hulu,
okay,
yes.
I'll watch it then. But
yes,
I
think there's like four episodes
right now. I was waiting
for
the episodes to come out on Hulu.
Four or five. I think the fifth one dropped yesterday. Yeah. But yes, it is... they really amped up the comedy on the new season, and I'm absolutely loving it. I'm going to give it also an 87 on the critical potato scale for this season alone.
Yeah.
So it's still way up there, and I don't have any rotten potatoes. Rotten Tomatoes, please don't sue us. We're not making any money off of this. But, yeah, so Garrett, what are your at-home recommendations?
Well, over the break, I've been watching a lot of Critical Role on YouTube, which Critical Role is the D&D podcast that I listen to. They also have their own Twitch. But they're hilarious. I've been watching a lot of their one-shots, which are just kind of the like one-shot stories, and a lot of them are pretty hilarious. And then also I found out that Liam O'Brien and Sam Riegel, which are one of the actors in there, they do have their own podcast, which I don't know if you ever had a chance to go look at them.
I have not.
But
I'm not really into D&D.
But no, it's called All Work, No Play. And really, it's just like this. They're just talking. They're bullshitting. They go and do like adventures and stuff like that for the podcast. You definitely need to check it out. It's better definitely on YouTube because you actually get to see the adventure that they go do. Like they go do like chainsaw carving together. They went to
actually no. I did watch some of theirs. Now I remember that because you said chainsaw carving. And yeah, I do remember watching
this most recent one.
That.
They did. They went to this famous like magic society, like a magician society.
Yeah,
and,
which is kind of ironic.
I know,
but I guess
right?
That we're going to be having
I know,
pretty
that's
soon.
Funny.
I read him that question. Are you a part of a magic society? And I kind of laughed at it, and he's like, huh, yeah, I am.
But, no, yeah, it's a, definitely go check them out. And then I've been watching a lot of October Faction.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Supernatural in a way, in a little bit, you know, where there's these monsters that exist in the world, and there's this secret society that goes out and goes and tries to kill them. And it kind of follows this family where this this mom and dad, they kind of grew up doing this, and they're trying to keep their kids from it. And it's just really good. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. I give that an 87 critical potatoes.
I just got to say, staring into your lovely brown eyes this whole time is really serenading me. I don't usually get this.
One that I highly recommend, it's on Netflix. It's called Lock and Key. Okay?
I've been toying with that one.
It's awesome. It's based off of a novel. It's about this family that, like, a tragic thing happens to where they move back to their ancestor and home, essentially. And it's like this home that has these magical keys that are hidden in the house. And these keys, each key kind of does a different thing. Like, one is where you can, like, put it in the back of your neck, turn it, and you can go inside your mind. Like, you can people can go
That's
inside
crazy.
Your mind. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I gave it a 92 critical potatoes. It's
wow. I definitely have to go check it out. I've been toying with it. I've been looking at it. I'm like, I don't know. Now, is it something that I'd be able to watch with the kids in the room also?
Yeah, it's like Goonies.
Okay.
It's like Goonies.
So it's like Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. It's kids.
Stranger Things is the Goonies.
Yeah, pretty much. And I've into the Shadow of the Moon, which is about. Now that I remember this, it's a thriller movie. It's on Netflix.
Like Michael Jackson Thriller?
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Suspenseful movie. And what it is that there's this detective in like the early 70s maybe, late 70s.
Yeah.
And he witnesses this crime where there's like three or four people that die instantly at the same time.
Interesting.
And it becomes a cold case. And then 9 years later, it happens again. And so every 9 years, the same thing happens.
That sounds like an episode of CSI I watched one time.
Yeah.
Las Vegas.
It's a really interesting twist at the end. I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't watched it. But I gave it about an 85 critical potatoes. It was a pretty good thriller. Very good twist at the end, I thought. It's on Netflix, like I said. So definitely go check that out.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll have to give it a... I'm definitely going to give Lock and Key a chance because, like I said, I've hovered over it several times. I'm like, do I really want to watch this? I don't know. This seems a little weird, but I kind of like weird. So I would definitely have to do that. Let's go ahead and roll on into our podcast, books, and comic books. And streamers. We're going to add streamers to that, too, because that's all I really
do.
It's
the same thing like you, like how I watch like Critical Role.
Yeah, you listen and watch a podcast and stuff like that. I watch people play Apex Legends and other video games like that. I got to give my boy Thomas Branson, Sinister Gaming, on Facebook a shout out. This dude is amazing. He's getting into the streaming really hardcore now, which is awesome. I mean, I watched a stream. And actually played with him. You'll actually see me on a lot of his streams because he's one of my best friends. Not nowhere near Garrett. He's like, you know, he's up there, but he's not Garrett. Garrett's brother.
Try digging yourself out of that hole, Trent.
Listen. You're more than a friend. Not like Tiffany friend. Not more than a friend like Tiffany. But you're like.
That's disappointing.
Brother. Well, I'm not going to go that deep into it. That's what she said. Anyways, he's been really getting into it. We've been kind of, you know, he's been throwing out our podcast on our stream quite a bit. He's getting a lot bigger because he's helping a lot of other big streamers who are running into technical issues. He's going in there and helping fix their technical problems and doing all this other stuff for them. And he's doing it for free, too. And the other night when I was actually playing games with him, there was a streamer who he was co-streaming with. Oh, God, what was his name? I don't remember it off the top of my head. But this guy, who's a lot bigger of a streamer than he is, dropped $400 on this man's stream. And it wasn't just, here's a $400 bomb. Nah, it was like like $50 here, $10 here. And he just kept going up and up. And the dude spent, like, he gave Thomas $400, but he spent a good $1,500 to $2,000 on Thomas just because of all that he did. I would love to have that kind of money. But I'd also love for a lot of things. I got to remember this guy's name because the guy deserves. That's cool. Marshmallow just walked by. Not the real one, but. Anyways, and then also my guy, Tato Typhoon. Okay, so the name of that streamer was Native Pride. You can also find him on Facebook. So there's Native Pride, Tata Typhoon, Sinister Gaming, and Leo Gets Plays. These guys, amazing streamers, great content creators, are always exciting. They're always got a really good program, and they keep you engaged the entire time you watch them. So, Garrett, what do you got?
I don't have really anything. I've been listening to a lot of Critical Role. I'm on Campaign 2, so it's getting pretty good on that. But besides this, I've been trying to get into playing D&D, actually.
Is that why there's a story on our shared drive right now?
No. Oh, yeah. No, that's not a story. That's that was just AL rules, ALE rules for D&D.
Ah.
No, yeah. I've been trying to... I've only played one campaign so far. And that was this past Wednesday. And I liked it a lot, actually. It was a lot of fun. I kind of met a new friend while doing it too.
Bastard.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm interested to see if I'll get really into this because I'm trying to learn it, and it sounds really interesting. Especially listening to Critical Role all the time. It,
you
really
know, believe it or not, I'm
play.
Actually thinking about getting into D&D myself because one of my students, one of my student leaders, is really big into D&D.
Yeah.
And he actually took one of my. You remember that Star Wars role-playing book that I had? I actually gave it to him, and he's actually starting a campaign with that now, and he's absolutely loving it. He said he's playing as a Wookiee right now and everything like that, which is really cool.
Yeah,
so,
that'd be cool.
I was like, And yeah. I'm also wanting to get into that game X-Wing. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I never heard of it.
It's like a bunch of little figurines that you play with. Oh, my God. I don't know. It's kind of like a D&D style to where you battle with X-Wings and TIE Fighters and a bunch of other ships.
So it's like, a very like battleship kind of thing?
Kind of, but it's like a role-playing game to where you put it out on a table and stuff like that, and you make certain moves and stuff like that on a tabletop.
Okay.
And it is interesting, and it's a lot of fun. Like, you can even get the Death Star. I mean, granted, it's expensive as hell. I want to learn how to play that game because it seems really interesting.
So. Yeah, like, I use D&D Beyond, which is it's a free service essentially, but you have to buy like the sources, like the books and stuff for D&D.
Yeah.
But my character, his name's Alfon. He's a half elf ranger.
That's interesting.
I'm only level 2, so just starting to get into it. But I'm excited to see where this goes. See if I really get into it or not, because it was fun with the people I was with. So.
Awesome.
Got to battle
awesome.
Some sharks on my the campaign I did.
What is it, Sharknado or something?
No, just the sharks were attacking our boat and we killed them.
Interesting. Yeah. That is very interesting. So for all things movie and TV, go to Facebook for all new movie and TV trailers. And also what's new with the Critically Awesome crew. Before every episode drops on Wednesday, we've been definitely going more live on Facebook recently. Just because of all the crazy stuff that's been going on with not only Branson Con, but the fact that we're getting started back up. We're trying to really get vitalized.
Which I know we put it on Facebook and Instagram and all that jazz. And but we got a new logo, guys.
Yes, and we are repping this logo right now.
New look, who this?
New look. I love it. Once again, we're giving out this new logo. We've got new vinyl stickers that we got made up for us, and it's got a brand new logo on it, and we're actually giving it away to all the people who are coming down to Branson Con if you say get movie trivia correct, which so far we're 0-3 on people getting movie trivia correct.
We got to rethink our trivia questions here, maybe.
Apparently, movie trivia is a little too hard.
I think you might be right. Disney movie trivia might have to happen.
Yeah, we might have to go dumb it down, do Disney movie trivia, and maybe Marvel and DC movie trivia, maybe. I don't know. But even Matrix questions stumped some people, which is crazy.
The only thing I can think of is, I know you put it on Facebook, is some of the photos, the still photos from Batman.
Yes.
With Robert Pattinson's.
Yeah, that's why Batman is kind of front and center on a lot of our
Batmobile.
Page. Yes, the Batmobile. What do you think of that new Batmobile?
I like it. It's actually a car.
Yes, and there's a freaking jet on the back of it. It's badass.
Yeah, I like
I'm really looking forward to Robert Pattinson's Batman, like, beyond belief.
He's going to be a detective. I mean, he's going to be a true
detective. It's going to be like a real, true, blue Batman movie. And it's not going to be an origin story. I swear to God, if I have to see Thomas and Martha Wayne die one more time, and if I have to see pearls fly onto the ground one more time, I'm going to lose my shit and walk out of the theater. I'm tired of watching the same scene.
Yeah, me too.
Like, they need to do what they did with Spider-Man. Don't even worry about Uncle Ben. Don't even cast an Uncle Ben unless it's Tobey Maguire. But I think they're saving that up for something else. There's going to be like a live action Into the Spider-Verse, I think, pretty soon. Also, I meant to say this. For all those who are listening, when we do a What's New with the Critically Awesome Crew, it's not just about what's new with me and Garrett. It is you guys, because you guys are our Critically Awesome Crew. We're just the guys that make the show. You guys are the crew. You know how most people have fam, bam, and all this other fun stuff, and they call each other family? You guys are our crew. You're our Critically Awesome Crew. So when we do a What's New with the Critically Awesome Crew, tell us what's new with you. We want to know what's new with you. We want to get to know you guys a little bit better. We love you guys. I mean, you're the reason why we even do this, so, and everything. But yeah, Garrett, why don't you go ahead and roll on into our next topic?
All right, guys. Well, if you want to sponsor us, or not sponsor us, but help support us, go to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/criticallyawesome. Or you can go to our website, which is criticallyawesome.net, and go to the support tab and go down to Patreon, and it'll take you right to that page as well. I think we have two tiers currently right now, because I added one. You have a $1 tier, which is really you just get a shout out if you do $1 a month, and then I think a $2 or $3 tier where you can actually get the episodes before we drop them on Wednesday. So that's definitely a pretty good deal, I feel like.
It was five.
Maybe it's five. I got to look at it again. This is very poor planning on my part. But definitely go.
That's okay.
Definitely
There's
go
a
check
lot of,
that out.
Things going on around us right now. So
yeah, I know there is. A lot of people staring at us. It's fun.
We're not used to having other people stare at us. That's for sure. We do this in the comfort of our own bedroom.
Yes.
Well, I do it in my bedroom. You do it in your basement. The podcast.
Yeah, go do that. And also give a shout out to our one and only Patreon, Cameron Mackey.
Cameron, once again, thank you for being our one and only Patreon. You are amazing, my good sir. Thank you for your continued support.
Later in this episode, we'll have a couple interviews with Josh Farley. He is the magician. He's a spokesperson. He speaks to...
Game show host.
Yeah, game show host. We'll have an interview with him, as well as Nerd Informants.
I had the opportunity to talk to both of those, both Nerd Informants and Josh Farley last night. I'm going to tell you right now, Josh Farley is an amazing dude. He's so funny. Very energetic personality. He's a hometown boy. He went to school here in Branson, and he's from around this area, and he was on Penn & Teller's Fool Us, and so I'm really looking forward to interviewing him.
You just want to show him magic trick. That's why you're in.
I don't want to show him any magic. I don't remember any of my magic tricks. Let's...
Oh, man. Yeah.
No, don't look up Trent Davis on YouTube, please.
Do it.
But anyways, yeah, so we're going to stop it right about here right now. Hey, everybody, welcome back. We've got an amazing person right next to us, Mr. Blake Swindle, president and CEO of Swin Dispensaries and also future mayor of Hollister.
So that's Blake. Right. I'll be running April 7th. Come out and vote, Hollister, Missouri, exclusively. If you're outside of that region, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. But yeah, we have our dispensary in Hollister. That's where I'm running. We're the first hemp dispensaries in the majority of part of the country, the Midwest for sure. We sell different smokable hemp joints, hash, keef, wax dabs, topical creams, all made from our award-winning bud. Everything's sourced out of Oregon. Growers are award-winning. The bud have won awards. They just did. A new High Times bud, their Amnesia Haze is an award winner as of last year. Our Jack Hare, Candyland, Blueberry Pie, all are exclusive and award winning.
So tell me a little bit about this. Do you have to have a medical card in order to get this?
Correct, right. So it's a medical grade bud, and when you get into the shop, you have a bud bar to look at, little goblets, magnifying glasses to check out everything, the aromas, we can smell it. Terpene profiles, cannabinoid profiles, all to read. But that medical grade, though, it's still under a federal legality. These 25-to-1 genetics, if it's at a certain Delta-9 THC value, makes it federally legal. So you come in, you don't need an ID, you don't have to worry about that. It's 18 years and older, but it's all still at a medical grade value. So people that need those ailment issues, we can help them. If they just like that head high, that body effect, we can do exactly that.
So what kind of things can be cured or even helped with whenever you do this CBD stuff?
Correct. Yeah, with our dominant CBD bud, right. It's the stronger effects for anxiety to treat it, inflammation, nerve endings with the CBD goes straight to the nerve endings, more stronger inflammation. But again, coupled with that THC and the terpenes, it'll further sedative effects or more uplifting euphoric effects for creativity, more daytime use and nighttime use. But, I mean, the stronger, I mean, just stress, depression, we have a selection that can vary depending on what you need. We'll have that.
Right on, right on. Well, Blake, thank you for stopping by. Garrett, did you have any questions you wanted to ask him?
Yeah. All business aside, Blake, those ears that you are wearing right now are pretty awesome. They went with a better color, I think, than the other ones
especially fitted.
I said.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Garrett made a recommendation, but this, I mean, I am the eye candy, and he's still enjoying it. He did. This is not the right color, but he's still enjoying it. It matches my Galaxy shirt perfectly.
Yeah,
so,
it definitely does.
If anything, it's just worth coming to Branson Con and just seeing 6'3" guy with cat ears on. I think that in itself.
A big ponytail.
Gigantic ponytail. So, I mean, you're not getting that anywhere else.
Is this your first time being at the
con? This is my first time, yeah. Because then last year, I guess this is the second annual. So this is only the second year, and then there's some other vision cons and other things happening.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, this is my first time here. We're both at a great location. I'm just a couple booths away. We got a bunch of nice locations here. And then we've just been talking to a lot of people. A lot of people are in today. It's Saturday. So it's been going very well.
Yeah, there's a lot of people cosplaying and just some really cool Batman earlier.
All the gals are perfect, spot on. All the guys have excellent, either if they're not anime, Marvel characters.
See a lot of anime.
They're nailing it.
I've been seeing a lot of anime.
Yeah, way more anime, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I think we're already Marvel heavy, so I think we're okay with this.
Yeah, no joke. I think that's about it, though. That's all I got.
Yep, no, it's great talking with you guys.
Yeah,
Blake,
thanks for stopping by. It's always a pleasure.
No,
we look
pleasure.
Forward to definitely mentioning you even more so this upcoming season.
Yep, no, and it was an easy, nice setup. I put you guys on Spotify in my car. I recommend doing that. It's immediate. I have a little screen in my car, put you guys on, listen to you as I'm driving to work. It's perfect.
Fantastic.
I recommend everybody do that.
Well, thank you also for being our very first sponsor, too.
Oh, my pleasure. This will be fun. I thoroughly enjoy it. I love everything you guys do.
Well, Blake, we will definitely be shouting you out the rest of the week, and enjoy the rest of the con.
Yep. Thank you.
We have a magical guest with us. By the age of 18, he was featured in two magic magazines and headlined an international gala for the Brotherhood of Magicians. He has been performing and speaking for Fortune 500 companies, universities, and nonprofits all around the United States. He was most recently featured on the CWTV show, Penn and Teller's Fool Us. You can follow him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our guest today joining us is Mr. Josh Farley. How are we doing today, Josh?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So I guess first and foremost, what brings you to Branson Comic Con?
What brings me to the Branson Comic Con? Well, they brought me in to do the world's first magic game show. I'm really excited about it. It's a brand new concept that we performed last night. And I don't know, did you guys get a chance to see the show, or you were out here?
I was out here. I did sneak my head in a little bit, and I saw the overlaying concept of it all. It looked really cool. How did that go over for you?
Very cool. It went really well. It's a new show energy. There's always the new show energy. So bringing different people up and playing different games and asking them different questions. I think I was actually expecting them to... We played nerd trivia as one of the things. And I think I was expecting them to, know more.
We've run into the same issues here because we've been doing movie trivia ourselves. And we're going to do a movie trivia right after this, right during this with you as well. And we've noticed that not a lot of people have really watched movies, or once you start asking them the questions, they just, brain fart or something like that. But We've been giving away our critically awesome stickers to anyone who's been answering movie trivia, even if they get it wrong. So, you know.
Way cool.
But, yeah.
What got you into doing magic? Like, what really got you into starting doing that?
So I started doing, I saw my very first magic show when I was 12 years old, and I was just blown away. He was a grand illusionist, and I knew that that was what I wanted to do the rest of my life. I met him in the autograph line afterwards. He told me about the International Brotherhood of Magicians, which I joined. I'm originally from upstate New York, so I went back home, joined the club, and went every month and learned different sleight of hand, and just met more people and got more involved in the magic community, and just all kind of snowballed from that show when I was 12.
Yeah, so Garrett likes to mention the fact that I did magic for a while when I was younger. Not much younger, but I did do some magic.
Way cool.
And kind of like you,
sleight of hand stuff.
Yeah. Kind of like you, I had I watched a magic show when I was younger. It was Kirby Van Burch, actually, who really, like, what captured my interest in magic was the fact that he pulled me up on stage. I got to see this really awesome trick, and then I got a little signed autograph car from Kirby Van Burch, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. And so, yeah, I kind of understand that. It just, for some reason, it didn't, like, stick and resonate with me. I guess it's, I don't know.
You're a Nader, man. Kirby Van Burch was the first magic show I saw. I lived in upstate New York at the time. We were driving through to go to Arizona, and we stopped by Branson, Missouri, which I had never heard of. Dad had only heard of, like, once. And we used to watch magic on Jerry's Kids, if you remember the muscular dystrophy telethons that they would have. So that was actually the first introduction to liking it. But then watching Kirby's show was what said, I love this. I want to do this. This is amazing.
It was the Prince of Magic. Can't beat that.
Prince of Magic.
Oh, man. So yeah, you talked about the magic societies that you're part of, which is the Brotherhood?
Yeah, so I belong to
International
the
Brotherhood.
International Brotherhood of Magicians, the IBM. they also have the Society of American Magicians, which I don't belong to. There's the Academy of Magical Arts, which is the Magic Castle out in L.A.
That was going to be my question. Have you performed in the Magic Castle yet?
I haven't performed there yet. I will. I don't know when, but it will happen.
I think that's actually... so I listen to... I watch a podcast on YouTube called All Work, No Play. And it's some of the critical role actors that do it. And they went into, I think, the Magic Castle, I think, or the mansion there in L.A. They got to kind of see some things. They got to do a couple, like, onstage tricks, as well as some, like, sleight of hand tricks, too.
Okay.
But it was really cool. Like, they just did a lot of... It was really cool to see, like, inside that. Because supposedly you're supposed to wear, like, you're supposed to dress up and everything like that. You can't wear, like, a suit and tie and things like that. It's really formal and...
It's very exclusive. I have friends that perform for Seth Rogen and Steve Wozniak and Johnny Depp. People that just go as a... you know, guests. They're members of the club, and it's very, very difficult to get an invitation. And I was talking to Andy, who voices Borderlands, and he was saying, like, he was excited that he just got an invite, and he lives out there, you know, so, well, he doesn't currently live out there, but he's lived out there, so.
I think it was really cool, the one room they watched there, or they showed there, was the Houdini room. That's a really cool room where you get this. They like this whole room is filled with, like, memorabilia of Houdini. Everything is authentic, like made by Houdini. They have the box that Houdini made himself. You know, it's really cool to see. So,
there's some brilliant stuff in there.
So how was it like being on Penn and Teller's Foolus?
Oh my gosh, it was. I mean, changed my life. It was the most incredible experience ever.
Did you fool them?
I did not fool them.
Ah.
No.
Now,
when we're taping, we do about 10 minutes on stage with Allison. But because she's a television actress and it's a live show where they're trying to, you know, probe information from me, essentially, she has to, like, turn away from me go into an earpiece. She listens to something. She looks at me, smiles, and says, "So, you were homeschooled?" And I answer the question the best of my ability, which apparently wasn't good enough, because she turns around again, another awkward 20-second pause while we're filming, and then she comes back around. She's like, "So, you were homeschooled?" Which obviously means I didn't hit my talking point, so which I then hit again, but it was surprisingly awkward. But she was super sweet. She was super cool. It's just weird being on Penn and Teller's stage with 800 people in the audience. You just did a set act, and now you're standing there awkwardly as they can get whatever film from it, that you tell them how your magic trick works. Penn and Teller genuinely don't know who's going to be on their show until you walk out on stage.
That's actually pretty cool. That way they can't prep for it or anything like that. Okay.
Yeah, it's the only reality show that I know of that is truly real.
It's real reality.
Yeah. So you're trying to fool them live. They get one watch through of your routine, and they either get it right or they get it wrong. And they use magician's code. You know, for me, I'm not going to tell you exactly the word that they used to tip me off to me knowing that they got it.
Okay.
But they'll compliment the routine, and then they'll say something that says, "We know you use this principle, and this principle." The audience doesn't know what we're talking about because it's code, but
which I really liked your performance, because it was a different rendition of that. Sticking the swords, like what they were saying, like it was different. I like that. Where, you know, I mean, it gets kind of old hack a little bit, putting the swords in the, you know, the box,
yeah,
or whatever. So I thought it was really cool.
Thank you. Yeah. So you asked earlier if we fooled them. I actually spent about 2.5 years working on a routine that I was pretty confident would fool them. And I hired a consultant that works on the show and really helps to get you on the show. It really increases your likelihood. And so we sat down, and I was telling him about this trick. He thought it was cool, you know. But at the end of the day, he was like, "You can go on the show, and you can do an 8-minute routine that is kind of boring, that looks like everyone else's routine, and you can fool them, and you can get a trophy, and you can wave your trophy around to the world, or you can do something cool and tell people's story. I mean, this is your first shot on TV. This is your one shot to say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is what I love." And if your purpose is just to go on and fool them, you're not doing it right, you know?
So on the note of also magicians who have come from this area, have you actually gotten to meet, like, Justin Flom or anybody like that?
Yeah, I met Justin Flom. So I don't know if you know who Johnny Thompson is, but he was the executive producer for Chris Angel, Penn and Teller, all the Vegas guys, Matt Franco, who won America's Got Talent, and he passed away, and so I got to re-meet Justin Flom. I met him when he was in town, and, you know, 10,
when he was, like, 50. Really short kid who performed in the attic of the Majestic Steakhouse.
The Majestic Steakhouse, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I watched his show a long time ago. My mom used to be a... she used to be like a really high entertainment person here with a resort in town that's no longer around. And so okay. I got to meet a lot of the entertainers of Branson for a while. And Justin Flom was a guy who would come out, go to these little Monday night parties that we would have, and do a small little bit for the owners of that specific resort.
Cool.
And so that's where I met Justin Flom. And I've been trying for the longest time to get to him to come and talk with us, because I was like, "Hey, do you remember me, or do you remember being in Branson and all this other stuff?" And I did dead silence. I was little, but so was he. So, so
yeah, Justin's a cool guy, and I love his show. I mean, he's slammed. You know, I mean, his bookings are he's always working.
I mean, when you open for Florida Georgia Line. And being a magic act opening for a music act, that's saying something.
He's doing okay.
What is one trick that you want to perform that you haven't yet mastered?
I don't know if I can say. We're working on something right now. I don't know how far away it is.
It's not a disappearing helicopter, is it?
Oh, yeah. No, okay, I'll explain it like this. The concept is to freeze time on stage.
Oh.
With multiple elements. So myself, I would do a backwards lean, is what's a suspension or a levitation where one leg is still attached to the floor. Have a female do a full levitation where she pushes back against me. And then she falls onto, if you saw Kirby's show, you remember the water levitation where his wife would levitate on the water. So instead of the water being a fluid fountain, I would like all of the elements to be frozen on stage, including the water.
That would be amazing to see. I really can't wait to see that trick myself, because already I'm mesmerized and just blown away by something that would be that cool. Like, I'm picturing it in my head. It looks amazing just from what I can see.
So. I've been dreaming about it for a couple, 3 years now, so.
So what was your favorite place that you have ever performed at?
Penn and Teller's Theater.
Penn and Teller's?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I know that you also do, you also go and speak at universities. Mm-hmm. You also do, at big-name companies as well. Yeah. Do you also do, your magic routine as well? Or does it depend on, what they call you for, I guess?
Yeah, it depends on what they're interested in. So, for instance, I work for Walmart. Their asset protection department. They had a national or international meeting down in Bentonville. But they brought me in to host a game show, and we played Family Feud, and they wanted me to do some magic. And I did 6 of these Family Feud games. Every time there was a different amount of magic in it. So that it really highlighted the game, and then still people, it's a test. And the same is true with when I am doing motivational speaking. It's like I do a lot of colleges, and there's a lot of Greek organizations where they're required to book an educational program. So they can either book their mayor to talk about how they're doing as a community, which is good, and you should do that. Or you could book a magician, and we could get half magic show, half speaking. Let's do that.
Yeah, that definitely sounds a little better.
Yeah.
Sounds like something the place I work. I work at College of the Ozarks. That sounds like something that they would do is hire. I mean, I understand that because they have to go to 6 convos is what we call them a semester. And there's one that's patriotic, one that's educational, one that's spiritual. Exactly. So on and so forth. And then they have the major convo, which is like when Sarah Huckabee Sanders came down last year, and they have to go to that. And so I'm left at the cafeteria all by myself. But, it's all good because it's, like you said, it's motivational. It gives the kids something really to look forward to in their lives and stuff like that. And so if they got somebody like you or whoever out there to look up to, I mean, that's really cool. And so you may not think of it now, but you're actually affecting a lot of people's lives. Just through your motivational speaking.
That's still a weird thing to wrap my head around, I do love it, and I try to share whatever lessons that I have gotten me to where I am, but yeah, it's a weird thing to look at myself like that, I don't know. I'm still just that awkward kid that was teased in high school, and I'm living my dreams, and I don't quite know what that means yet,
Yeah, you're just an awkward kid on stage now, and everyone's watching you, which makes you more awkward.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what it feels like right now, because we got all these people watching us. We do this from the confines of my bedroom, a little corner of my bedroom, and all this stuff is on my wall. And we got all these people looking at us, and I feel like we're just this small. Well, you can't see it, but we're little bitty, and I was made fun of too in school for sometimes, and
we kind of blended in with everybody.
Yeah,
people
definitely
suck.
What do you like to do when you're not performing? Do you have other hobbies besides magic, besides public speaking?
So performance art is pretty much all consuming, and not just performance art, but art in general. Not really painting, with the exception of painting, art in general. I love movies. I love television. I love, I was going to say a moment ago, with the show, you talked about being in your room, kind of sequestered in a corner. I love doing Photoshop. I love doing Adobe Premiere. Like, probably 100 to 120 hours went into the show that I performed last night because I genuinely love doing the video editing and the Photoshop and all those things. So I guess to answer your question, like, it's all magic related, but it's not really the sleight of hand, the tricks anymore. It's more the, like, theater aspect and design aspect. And I made my own website.
That's what I do with our podcast. I made my own website, and I mean, I'm kind of like a little bit dabbling a little bit. I'm having to edit, you know, what our recordings, and, you know, just trying to figure out how to do that. A lot of YouTube.
Yeah, lots of YouTube.
What would we do without YouTube? I don't know, but
that's where I learned a majority of my magic tricks was YouTube.
Nice.
Just trying to figure out how to do it, and I was like, okay, cool, now I'm going to do this, and I want to perform it for myself on YouTube, and I'm going to get my wife involved, and she's going to be a great actress, and I'm like, this is not exactly what I wanted to happen.
Yeah, I still have a trick in my repertoire that I learned off YouTube.
And isn't it true that some of your friends actually brought up some of your old YouTube videos from when you were like 13 and put it on stage at one time and showed you your cringe fest?
Yes, that is 100% true. If you want to see some pretty cringy videos, you go to my YouTube channel. I would recommend Split. It's super emo. My hair's straightened, straight and over the eye. And the trick is, like, there's a red heart, and then I split it in half into two, like, broken pieces of a heart, and then the heart turns black. You'd got to check it out.
That's definitely emo. That's very...
I think the song was like Bullet for a Valentine. Like, God, I was going through some stuff.
That's it. Right after this interview, I'm looking it up.
Speaking of movies, you said you like movies and TV. I mean, what are some of your favorite genre movies you like to watch?
I'm obsessed with superheroes.
So you like any of the MCU, DCU, all that?
Yeah. More MCU because, you know.
I mean,
because
you have more to watch, of course, but...
Because I'm more of a what?
You have more to watch, I mean...
Exactly, yeah. And DC, like, I still don't feel like they've quite found their stride.
No, yeah, I agree. We both agree on that.
Like, yeah.
I feel like they're getting their footing down finally. They started, and then they slipped, fell on their face, and now they're picking themselves back up, and they're like, well, let's do exactly what the MCU is doing. I'm like, can we not? Can we do let's keep the dark, gridgy stuff, but also throw in some comedy in here and there, you know? Yeah. But, you know, I'm one that's always going to try to defend the DCEU because I love Batman and I love Superman.
I love the characters.
But you can't compete with Marvel and what they've already done. And it's just like, but what I don't like about it is that it's just copy and paste with their movies anymore. And it's getting kind of repetitive. So.
Yeah. I agree and disagree with that statement. I mean, you've seen the new Spider-Man?
Yes.
I feel like that was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were surprising elements in that.
Oh, yeah, but had to have Iron Man to come in there to save the movie and everything, and they still tie it together. And what brings it even more together is the fact that it is Spider-Man, and Spider-Man is just like this all-iconic. I mean, I've got Spider-Man over there. It's just an all-iconic hero. I mean, it was President Obama's favorite superhero, in case
really?
You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
that's cool.
President Obama absolutely loves Spider-Man as his favorite superhero. And
it's probably because Spider-Man is most relatable superhero, because he's a nerdy kid and getting picked on in high school, you know, and he's trying to figure out how to use these powers and still have a social life, which is pretty much an adulthood is what it is. That's what that is.
So before we go to our movie trivia, you're an inspirational speaker. Do you have anything inspirational you want to say to our listeners? And I hate to put you on the spot. So while we do that, let's look for...
Don't worry about the past or the future. Live in the present, the moment. Don't use that as an excuse to YOLO or whatever, you know. But be mindful of what's happening right now. I feel like there's a lot of depression, anxiety, and a lot of comparing ourselves to other people. And with Instagram and Facebook and everything, like, it's so easy to feel like you can't make it in society, that you're not good enough, or you're not, you don't have the thing. I almost quit doing magic. I really was this close, because I thought I wasn't capable of doing it. No one was reaching out. I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was comparing myself to all these other magicians that seemed like they were doing well. And then as I got further along and learned more about it, they seem like they're doing well because they're posting the best of the best, and they're posting a certain strategy. And, you know, what you see on the face is not always what's happening inside. Don't compare yourself to other people. Only compare yourself to yourself.
And I think that's what happened with me with my magic, is I was comparing myself to other magicians. I wasn't getting it right then and there. Like, I'm a very impatient person. It has to happen right now. And if I don't get the trick right now, and if I don't get, like, master it within the day, and I think that's what happened with me. You know, I practiced it for a little bit. I thought I got really good at it, and then I started messing up, and I got, I guess, bored with it. So that's a really good speech. Like, I really like that. And if, you know, anybody does suffer from depression or anxiety, definitely know that you're not alone. There's always somebody out there that will help you out. And there's always somebody out there who you can talk to, and who will understand and relate with you. If you need anybody to talk to, definitely talk to me. Definitely talk to Garrett, or even anybody. Just,
yeah, reach out to feel free to reach out to me. You can shoot me a message on Facebook. I'm pretty good at responding. Not the best, but I, you know, feel free, really.
Let's go ahead and hop on into this little movie trivia. All right. Which film contains the line, "I'll have what she's having"? Don't you help him, Mom. Now, I'll give you another scene.
Something about Mary.
This is close. When Harry
meets Sally.
Yeah. I was going to give you a hint saying it's right after a scene where she's just acting like she's having an orgasm in the middle of the stage, slamming her hands down, and then there's cuts to a scene next to that person and says, "I'll have what she's having."
I haven't seen that movie. Yeah. I haven't, no. I know it's a cult classic. I need to, yeah.
In what year was The Notebook released?
Ooh.
It's in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I was going to say 2005?
Close. 2004. Very close.
Who starred alongside Justin Timberlake in Friends with Benefits?
Miley Kunis?
Yeah,
Mila Kunis.
Yes. Katerina and Bianca Stratford are characters in which film? The
stars
Heath Ledger. He was younger.
Not a clue.
It's a good, like, teen movie.
Not a clue.
Is it 10?
10.
10.
Yeah.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
No.
That's not a teen movie. 10. Give me a second.
I bet you've seen it. You would have to. I mean,
I'm going to feel like an idiot. What is it?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And Marley and Me, what breed of dog was Marley?
A cute one?
That is true. Yeah.
Nailed it.
A Labrador Retriever.
A Labrador, okay. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. We'll try to find a better one for you next time, though. Josh, it has been more than amazing to see you out here. Thank you so much for being our very first guest that we've actually interviewed face-to-face.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a blast.
Josh, where can they all find you at? What can they expect out of those places?
So joshfarley.com, or all my social media is Josh Farley Magic. Josh, F-A-R-L-E-Y.
Right on. So, like, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter?
Instagram, Facebook. Not super active on Twitter, but
yeah, neither are
you
we.
Can follow me.
That's exactly what we tell people. We got a Twitter, but we don't use it.
We don't use it. Maybe I'll send something occasionally, like once a year. There's a tweet.
Right on. Well, Josh, as always, thank you for stopping by. This was a blast. Garrett was over here pacing back and forth. We were getting kind of nervous because we've never actually done a face-to-face interview before. So, you know, we're just an up-and-coming podcast. We're trying to get our feet on the ground. We're starting to make some traction with it. So, once again, you are our very first live guest. Thank you for doing that.
Way cool. I'm glad to be. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. All right.
Cool.
We have some awesome guests with us today. They are the host of The Nerd Informants. On their show, they break down all things movies, TV, pop culture, comics, video games, and more. You can find their show on YouTube, and make sure you follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Our guests today, Mr. Josh Grisham and Tim Church. How are we doing today, guys?
Doing really good. Thanks so much for having us on your podcast, guys. This is really an honor.
Guys, thank you so much. This is great.
The honor is all ours, honestly. When we found out that you guys wanted to be a part of us, I'm pretty sure we fangirled just about as much as, you know, ever. We did the same thing with Josh Farley. We talked to him yesterday, and he said, Dad, oh, my God, a podcast wants us to be a part on their show. Book it now. Book it now. And we're like, oh, my God, this is our very first live-action interview with anybody. So we screamed. You screamed. It was great. So, you know.
It was our 15 minutes of fame, pretty much.
That's awesome. I love it.
I was going to say, guys, it's more than 15 minutes of fame for you. I mean, you got like the creme de la creme. Everybody's going to want to be on this podcast.
I really hope so. That's the goal anyways. Tell us a little bit. What brings you to the con this weekend?
Oh, well, we were lucky enough to be invited last year to join the Branson Con staff. And so we've been fortunate enough to help these guys put this con on last year and then again this year. And, you know, whenever they kind of mention, hey, let's have Nerd Informants come in and do some moderation with the guests, get them up on stage, kind of help things flow a little easier. It was all we could say, but yes.
It kind of was an evolution, really kind of started out a little bit with VisionCon, some involvement there with that con, going out, doing it from a media aspect, doing the videos, doing the interviews, and then we got involved with BransonCon, close friends in that group. And so now it kind of evolved from like a service nerd kind of going and doing whatever we could on the floor to help out to now doing the moderation on the panels, Tim doing press relations, doing media releases through the paper, Branson Tri-Lakes Daily News, and it's just continued to evolve, and we just continue to do more different jobs at the con, and it's con life, and it's really good, guys.
Tim and I were talking a little bit before you came up. So what are you guys' backgrounds as far as like what you do for a living how'd you get into doing Nerd Informant essentially?
Okay, well it really started out, Josh and I worked together at the same radio station, and we were there together for 3 years. I have since moved on and joined the local newspaper, Branson Tri-Lakes News. But during our time at the radio station, we kind of put our minds together, and Josh came to me one day and goes, listen, man, I just want to video you talking about nerd stuff. Okay, we're constantly having these conversations in the hallways and in the office. Let's just get this stuff on film and talk about it. Let me ask you some questions about it. And it's really just evolved from there.
You know, and the neatest thing about it was, too, is that in that friendship, I mean, obviously, I think I thought he was awesome from the start. And I think a lot of it, I was just really envious of his toy collection, because he really, no matter what office he's ever been in, the guy has got like the coolest desk you could ever hope to have. And so I saw this, the conversation started happening from there, and he's right. I said, you know, I want to film you talking about nerd stuff. And so from there, it started out with us doing like a YouTube channel. And guys, I'll tell you this, we started rambling for about 54 minutes at a time about anything under the sun. And that's about how Nerd Informants was born. It was really trial by fire, a little bit of trial and error. We were talking for a long time, and we found we've got to do some changes here. I think maybe less is more. We graduated more towards the social media side, away from YouTube, and that's really how it started to take off. But it was all about a friendship and him talking about nerdy stuff.
A little bit of our history. We actually started off, what I wanted to do is we wanted to start off on YouTube as well, and we did. I wanted to do the car ride home from the movie theater. So where's the one place that you always talk about the movies that you just saw?
In the car.
It's the car ride home. And I wanted to record that. And at that time, I wasn't able to actually go see a bunch of movies because of financial issues. But this guy right here really took off with it and started taking people to restaurants and stuff like that, talking about the movies that he saw. It was really awesome. And it was kind of my dream coming to fruition. So we was like, why don't we just go ahead and talk about all this stuff? And so we ended up going on YouTube for like an hour or two a lot of times and just sitting there just talking all things nerdy, and it was great. And
yeah, oh, wow.
YouTube Live was very
hard. No mess ups, right? That's like you're on once you start, you're on, and that's it.
Yeah, and like our second episode, I think we had a friend of ours make a theme song for us. And whenever you go to our page, you'll actually be able to, or the episode that you want to watch or listen to, we still got that exact same theme song too. So it's awesome. And I was like, you know what? Where do I get the name Critically Awesome? I was thinking to myself, well, we're critics of movies, and we're two awesome guys. So I was like, why not Critically Awesome? And so that's where the name Critically Awesome came from. So, you know, talking down with two fellow nerds here, this is a little, like, overwhelming because, like I said, you guys are our second, like, live interview. So,
four great minds, guys. Four great minds.
So, yeah.
Or just one big mind. I mean, left and right, right, left and right brain here.
Nerds get together. It's like a hive mind, right?
Yeah. Let's see here. So, since you guys are in the media and you've done a lot of things, as far as Nerd Informant comes, like, what's the best interview that you ever had? Like, what's the your most favorite interview that you ever done?
Ooh, Tim, you want to start with this one?
That's a really hard one. I'm not gonna lie. Probably the interview that I fanboyed the most of was when we got to interview John Wesley Shipp with The Flash. So we got to meet him literally months. And spoiler for anyone that's not been catching up with Flash, but when he was unveiled to be the Other Earth's Jay Garrick. So literally we were meeting him weeks after that unveiling happened on the show. And so I was completely nerding out, of course, being a huge fan of the original 90s series, and then him returning to play Henry Allen on the show, and then him being able to take on the secondary role on the show as Jay Garrick. I mean, I was completely, completely nerding out with him. It was very difficult for me to hold my composure in, but by far, that's probably one of the favorites I've gotten to do. And I will throw probably an equal tie in there. Lou Ferrigno was fantastic.
That would be amazing.
He was just a great guy. Answered all my questions. You know, he was very happy to be interviewed, which really with celebrities, sometimes you never know if they care that much. But Lou was really into it. He was happy to be there with us and just happy to be at the con that we were at. And he was just a fantastic guest.
You know, we've done so many interviews since we got started, and it's amazing you think about it. April coming up, it's going to be our four-year anniversary since Nerd Informants got formed. I would have to say, guys, my favorite, and it was nerve-wracking at first. Thank God I got two opportunities to do the interview, but I have to say Dennis Quaid.
Oh, wow.
Having him literally in the radio station, in my studio, and being a chance to be, really as close as we are right here face-to-face, and talking about his movie career, doing that twice. Definitely a highlight.
That's awesome. Dennis Quaid is an amazing guy.
Down to earth too. I mean,
I think
really
I'd
easy.
Be shaking a little bit, like, oh my gosh, okay. Dennis Quaid is here. Calm down. He's
I can relate to that.
Guy.
Sweaty palms, the whole deal. It was there both times. Couldn't get rid of it.
So how did you end up getting a hold of these guys in order to get the interviews for them?
You know, a lot of it was through media relations, whether it was through our jobs, especially with Tim being at the paper, Branson Trolley's Daily News. We had contacts through conventions. Radio made it a little bit easier as well because he was going to be in town, so his agents were kind of working through the radio station itself. And we had, like, sales and marketing contacts, which made that a little bit easier. But usually some of the interviews that we have been afforded to, it's generally through, you know, press inquiries through the paper or with me. I've got a prep service that the station pays for, and we actually have contacts with their agents and their reps. We basically get email notifications from the networks that provide syndication. That comes through. We make the request. And we keep our fingers crossed if we get it. So we've had some big names come through.
That'd be awesome because we're working our best to try to get some big names to come through with us.
You will get there.
Most of it is, you know, he lives in Kansas City. I live down here in the Hollister area. And so most of our interviews are through video. And so if we ever get in contact with any other podcasters that we know, like through podcastmo.com, that's where we get most of our info from is from them. They come on, they do a video chat with us, and we record it through video. So that's how we do all of ours. So.
Right on, right on.
Yeah, like we did one with a podcast called Going Off Topic with Kyle Foshee. And we that episode, we talked about the sequels, Star Wars sequels. We talked about like our opinions on it and how we liked each movie. This was before, of course, The Rise of the Skywalker.
Nice.
So like we also kind of tried to predict what we thought would happen. It's about a 2-hour podcast.
Oh, anything Star Wars related to Rise of Skywalker, you're going to need those 2 hours and then some really to break everything down.
Oh, yeah. Like we, Trenton kind of wanted to walk through almost the whole movies. I was like, okay, let's kind of do like a kind of jumping around kind of thing, like what things that we liked, what things we didn't like, not.
And that's what bugged me. He was like going from the beginning to the end to the middle to the beginning. I'm like, listen, I'm still at the opening scene when Finn pops his head up. You need to pump the brakes.
It's, at that point, it's kind of like, why does everybody want to go back to Jakku?
Right. That's hilarious. So on the topic of movies, what is your favorite genre of movie to watch?
Ooh, I'm a big action comedy guy, so you know, give me a good buddy cop movie that, and I'll be super satisfied. But I'm also huge into animation, so and not so much leaning towards anime, but you know, Cartoon Network.
SpongeBob's my personal favorite.
SpongeBob, Scooby-Doo, I mean, you name it. Especially the old school stuff. So Scooby-Doo, the Jetsons, the Flintstones. I really love that those shows and what they meant to the culture at that time.
See, he's got such good taste in movies. I think that's why the partnership is as good as it is, you know. When it comes to movies for me, I have to say really, guys, action sci-fi is like huge for me. Growing up, I mean, there's a lot of obscure movies. What's cool for me is being, like, old enough to be carbon dated and old enough as dirt, guys. I can actually go back and revisit, like, all of my old favorites, and it's stuff generally that Tim hasn't seen, so that's really cool. Like, you know, I ask him, it's like, have you seen Willow? No. All right, we're going to sit down and we're going to watch that. You go back to Goonies, Alien. I mean, there's so many classics, and I hope both of you have seen Army of Darkness or any of the Evil Dead movies. If you have, you're even more awesome.
I have not actually watched any of those, but
you've
I have heard
homework.
Of them.
You've got homework.
We'll sit down together sometime and do it.
Oh, please, please. That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome to do like a movie review or like a recap or something.
Like a retro cast?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like
good
we
stuff.
We do like commentary through it or something like that.
Don't mess up our schedule this year.
We will try not to mess up your schedule this year.
Yeah.
Hey, I've not seen Army of Darkness either, guys.
I haven't either. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I really enjoy, because I like sci-fi and fantasy. I mean, more like it when it's sci-fi fantasy, which is even better. You know, I like that kind of combination. We even did an episode of that where we, like, one door was like you go into a fantasy realm, the other one's a sci-fi realm. I'm like, it's hard to pick because I like both, so.
That one was my personal favorite episode because I also had my wife as a guest on that show because she was very adamant of the fantasy world. And so I was like, listen, you can get both of those with the sci-fi world because if you step into a holodeck, you can go into the Lord of the Ring world if you wanted to. And she's like, well, it's not the same. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, it's the exact same. You just have safety features.
Yeah, but you don't have actual true magic.
And I was gonna say, if you have your wife on, guys, you got to make sure that that you give her like a full hour or 2 hours dedicated specifically to her and her opinion. That's the safest way to do that.
She did do most of the talking during that time.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so what are your top like three movies or go to movies that like if you want to watch a movie, you're like, I don't know what to pick, so I'm gonna throw this into and watch it. Like, what are your top three movies that you'd pick?
So top three movies that are like my go-to?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in particular order as far as top three, but just like the ones that you'd want to just like, anytime you just pick it at, you'd pick it no matter what.
Wow.
And that's kind of a hard one. That one probably should have, Trent probably should have told you that one yesterday.
And that's a hard one for me because like movies is really like my thing. I love movies, love film. But I will say this, probably because anytime it's on TV, I have to watch it. It doesn't matter what channel it's on. And it comes on a lot, so generally I'm sitting in front of the TV. Tim watches me and he's like, you know, why are you watching that movie again, over and over again? Shawshank Redemption is probably going to be number one, without question. Classic movie. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it. Shawshank Redemption is there. I'm going to say Aliens by James Cameron.
That's a solid
one. Not the first
one,
but the second one. Aliens, anytime that's on, I can actually pull that out of my Alien Quadrilogy collection at any given time. I'd go right to that and pull it out and watch it. And I'm going to go with The Breakfast Club.
That's a solid one.
Those three would be my go-tos, and I could probably watch those all the time, anytime.
I didn't even have to think about it, guys. The Princess Bride, Back to the Future Part 2, and Ghostbusters easily. I grew up on all three of those, and frankly, anytime I need to pop them in, just to have some background noise going, or you know, just to have something to watch. I love getting back into those movies.
Yeah. So speaking of Back to the Future, so like when I first met my fiance, she's never seen Back to the Future at all.
Oh no.
And so I was like, oh, we gotta watch these, and like. It's one of the, because like if you watch it now, they're kind of ridiculous, honestly. But they're ridiculous in a good way. Like they're really great. But like if you really watched them,
you might be witnessing the end of Critically Awesome now.
No, I love Back to the Future.
There's like this steely eyed look coming across the way there.
No, I love Back to the Future, but like when you see it from someone's point of view, like from hers, where she never grew up with it. Like even like she didn't even grow up with Goonies. Like so there's a lot of things she missed. But she's like, it's like, well, what happens? I'm like, watch the movie and you'll find out. I'm like, but I love the first one because I like the Johnny B. Goode scene because that's where, like, I wanted me to get into playing guitar, which I don't play much anymore. But that's what, yeah. Actually, I learned how to play Johnny B. Goode on the guitar because of that scene, and you know, of course, Back to the Future makes you think. We're way behind on where we should be at because, come on, we should have flying cars by this point.
We're 5 years late on my hoverboard.
I'm still waiting on the dehydrating pizza, you know. Yeah. rehydrating pizza.
Pizza Hut, get to work.
Yeah, no
joke. Oh boy, Mom, you sure know how to hydrate a pizza.
All right, so you guys are big Star Wars fans, right? Or
yeah, yeah.
Yeah? All right, what is... I feel like I asked like every guest that we have on our show anyways, it seems like. But what is your top Star Wars movie? Like, what movie do you like the most?
Oh, gosh, this is a hard one. Honestly, The Empire Strikes Back is pretty fresh in my mind right now, mostly just because I just finished holding Luke Skywalker's lightsaber the other day. So
I was jealous.
That's pretty...
I got to do that, and I didn't even smile that big whenever I held my daughter for the first time.
And he has three.
Oh.
She doesn't listen.
She heard it already, and she's a little offended. Listen,
it was Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. What was I supposed to do?
But yeah, Empire has a perfect mix of everything that you love about Star Wars. The characters are great. The villain is fantastic. Darth Vader, I feel like, really gets to shine in Empire. So, you know.
My favorite's Yoda. That's probably my favorite scene in Empire is when Yoda's whacking R2-D2.
Yeah.
Like, mine! Mine!
No, for me it's an easy choice. I mean, I have to go with Empire. Empire
is
just
my favorite too.
One of the definitive stories there. Everything about it. I mean, it has the perfect blending of pace, action, story. We got Luke's growth in that one. Of course, we had the epic reveal of reveals in particular movie. Everything that we thought was true was not. It subverted all of your expectations, and it stands the test of time. And it's one that you can watch. Outside of all of the others, and I feel like it has its own place in the pantheon, but Empire, definitive Star Wars movie. Really good.
So I've got a very political way of saying it for myself, because I like to touch base on all three segments of the Star Wars saga. I like to say my favorite of all time, of course, has got to be The Empire Strikes Back. That's my favorite in the original series. The prequel series has got to be Revenge of the Sith, because, yes, we know how it's going to end. He's going to become Darth Vader, but... You got to think of that iconic scene at the very end when the hood is coming over the top of the mask, and then you hear him kick on as Darth Vader for the very first time. And I don't know about you, but whenever I was sitting in the theater at the time, it was just completely dead quiet, and then you heard a gasp through everybody as he was rising up. Now, granted, it ended up being one of the most memeable moments whenever he was like, no! But that beginning scene itself... You know, and we have one of our very first episodes was defending the prequel series. So, and then also defending episode 2 because that's my least favorite movie of all time. Second least favorite movie of all time. The Last Jedi is my least favorite. But on that note, on the sequel trilogy, it is definitely Rise of Skywalker. And everyone is crapping on that movie because it doesn't wrap up, blah, 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 blah. J.J. Abrams had to do a lot of retconning to make his story into fruition. And I think he did an amazing job with it. And I think that he did an amazing job with Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
You know, everyone says he's a moody teenager, but I think that he's perfect because he's in that spot where he's fighting the light and the dark the entire time throughout the entire series. So in my aspect, I think Rise of Skywalker is my favorite Star Wars movie because of the ending of it all.
Yeah, the redemption arc of Kylo Ren is so similar to that of Darth Vader. You know, it just echoes the original films so well. And I don't understand why people have such an issue with that because, frankly, the last three movies was basically a modern-day, long time ago retelling of the original trilogy. And I think people forgot that. Rian Johnson definitely forgot that with The Last Jedi, but whatever. But I think J.J. really pulled it together for Rise.
And not only did he have the redemption arc with Darth Vader and all that series, but he also had a lot of the mannerisms of Han Solo, too. He's showing the fact that he's Han Solo's son with his gestures that he does and how he fights and everything like that with the blaster. I loved that part of it.
You know, and I think about The Rise of Skywalker, one of the biggest things that I really couldn't stand, and it wasn't so much about the movie, I think I had a big problem with fandom at that point in time because fandom really... It brought out the toxicity. It brought out the dark side of Star Wars fandom. I mean, obviously, you think about Kelly Marie Tran and all of the hate that she got. Unnecessary, undeserved, ridiculous amount of hate. Rise of Skywalker, same thing. You know, you can appreciate The Last Jedi for what it was, and you can appreciate The Rise of Skywalker for what it is as two separate films. Both directors had their different visions for it. And you know what? Just put it aside. I'm not a fan of The Last Jedi. I loved The Rise of Skywalker, namely because it wasn't so much about retconning. You can, you know, blame J.J. Abrams. You can have that opinion that he did it deliberately on purpose. Well, he started out the series. He was tasked with ending the series. So from how he got from point A to point B, he had license to be able to do that creatively as he saw fit. I think he tied everything up nicely. I mean, it gave me what I wanted out of Luke Skywalker because I think Rian Johnson... He went in a creative direction regarding Luke Skywalker that I didn't like. I didn't want to see Luke die in The Last Jedi at all, but I think there was some redemption there. He made a great movie, and he closed out the trilogy in a neat way.
I like what he did with helping reprise Luke Skywalker Return of Skywalker, or Rise of Skywalker. I don't know about you, but at the end of that movie, when they were all... You know, getting everything together, and you know, she says, "I'm Rey Skywalker."
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I was shedding a tear because I was like, "Oh no, it's the end of everything. What am I gonna do?"
You know, and I mean, yeah, you shed a tear. You think about, okay, all right, this is it. The story is wrapped up. Will we see Rey come back down the road? It's possible. I mean, depending on if there's a narrative for it, but it gets me excited for the expanded narrative in books and films. You think about the High Republic novelization series that's going to be coming out here soon. They're tapping into more creators, independent and otherwise, that have always had that Star Wars voice, whether they wanted to make a movie or they wanted to write a book or they want to do a graphic novel. They're bringing the hive mind together, guys. And I think when they tap into that creativity, we're going to get some stories that we could only have dreamt about. And leaving the Skywalker saga behind, in a good way, in my opinion, the universe is open, it's ready, and we're going to see some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I think... Really what it comes down to, so like if you think about how the time in between the making of each of like the original series or the original trilogy as well as the prequels, there was at least a couple years in between, right? And now with the sequels, there was only a year in between of each one,
yeah.
Which in fact, that makes it where everything's rushed, so they can't really produce that great of a movie as well as the other ones. And also, it makes it where I feel like it's oversaturated everything now. Like, Disney has oversaturated everything. Like, I mean, Marvel movies that come out two or three times in a year, you know. And then, like, with Star Wars, that's the beauty of it is that each like decade it comes out with a new series or new trilogy, right? Which then gives a new rebirth of a new generation of Star Wars fans. Like, you know, like our parents, they got to see the original trilogy.
Yep.
Then when the prequels came out, we had our own trilogy. And then now with Trenton, you know, because he has kids, I don't, but like now they have their own trilogy. that's what Disney needs to do, keep doing, is like wait a decade or two to come out with the next trilogy, because it gives that that refreshness of everything, and then maybe make it where it doesn't come out every year, but like every 2 or 3 years to give them more time. I know they can make them faster now since they do combination of CGI and props, which is really great, because that's what made like Rogue One and Solo and also all the sequels really great, because you could tell that they used real things.
Yeah.
And then they added CGI in the end of it, which is actually that's how CGI should be. That's how it should work.
It's a good point.
Possible. I just think that oversaturation is causing all the big fandom. Like, I mean, that's what practically Rise of Skywalker was, a like, here you go, fans, this is what you want. And people still hated it. So, it's one of those things that everyone's going to hate or love it. It doesn't matter. I mean, like, we always say that even though we may disagree on a lot of things as far as how Star Wars comes about, but we still love it because we talk about it all the time. I mean, we sometimes, like, one weekend, we were all just sitting in his living room with his dad and his brother and then one of our other friends, and we were just, like, talking about Star Wars, like, the sequels, and then also we were talking about the new trailer that came out for Clone Wars, Season 7 coming out soon, I think. So, you know, we were just, you know, nerding out about it, and he was getting a little heated.
There was alcohol involved also.
The best conversations are.
Last question before we get to our little trivia game here that Trenton has. If you guys had a superpower, what would you pick?
I have always wanted teleportation.
Yes.
Okay. Just to get from one place to the other, you know, to get from Branson, Missouri to Paris, France in an instant. I would love that.
I agree. That's what I would have. Because, yeah, like, just, forget flying. Flying that. I'd rather just be done. I don't want to have a car.
Yeah. Listen, I hate driving.
With flying, you get the beautiful view of everything. You get to see more. With teleportation, it's not as scientifically factual, because if you teleport from Branson to Paris, you're going to have the rotation of the Earth. You're going to have the and the movement of the Earth.
You have that flying too, by the way.
Yeah, but it's more practical, because guess what? I'm still on the ground. I'm not instantly going from one place to the other.
If I'm flying, my arms are going
to
get really tired.
I don't know about you, but you know when a plane flies from the United States to Europe, it actually flies up to the North Pole and come back down?
Well, so I would be like flying like Superman, not flying like a bird. I'd fly like Superman.
Oh, a plane doesn't fly like a bird.
Okay. He made the comment of my arms would get tired. I'd fly like Superman and have no
real reason of how I fly. I just do.
I hate driving, guys, so any chance I can get just to get for where I'm going immediately. Or, hey, if I can't have teleportation, let's just go ahead and figure out how Scotty can beam me up so I can get to where I need to go immediately.
Look at him. Going with the teleportation, I'm going to have to go with super strength.
That's a good one.
Super strength. You know, flight, teleportation, I mean, that's really cool and everything, but I just want to make sure I can handle myself in all situations and that nobody wants to mess with me. You know, so if I want to just go over and just, like, you know, poke a tank, I can flip it over instantly. There's nothing better than that.
That's a good point.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of the date opportunities. I could take my wife. We could fly over, you know, a beautiful city or whatever, and then fly back, you know, super fast, so I don't have to worry about getting a sitter.
Lois and Clark. Hey, Lois fell in love with Superman, especially on that
maiden
flight.
You can do the same thing with teleportation.
Bing, I'm there. Oh, crap, we're in the middle of the ocean.
But also, then you don't mess up her hair. If it's a date.
My wife doesn't worry about her hair.
Now, see, now you guys are talking about teleportation now. Remember, you got to be able to see where you're going.
Or at least know where you're at. Like, I'm thinking, like, what's that? Looper? Not yeah. Looper.
Jumper.
That? Jumper, yes. Like that. That's what I think about teleportation. You guys to know.
Well, I mean, what happens if you teleport and you get stuck in a brick wall?
You break out of it.
Yeah, but you don't have super strength and you don't have a chisel. What do?
I call you and get your super strength.
See, look, he's always got a plan. He does. That's a really good answer. I like that. Look at you.
We're never very far apart, so if I'm stuck in a brick wall, you're probably stuck there with me.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
All right, we're going to swing into this movie trivia real fast.
Oh, nice. I love movie trivia. You're going down, son.
How many Academy Awards did Titanic win? Jeez. I want to start you off hard.
Jeez. All right, do you have an answer for this one?
18 comes to mind, but I don't know.
Okay, a number is in my head right now, and I hope to God it's right. I'm going to go with 11.
Right on the money. 11.
I was 7 off.
Bing!
In Flashdance, what job does Alex do by the day?
Flashdance. Oh, what a feeling.
I have no idea.
She's sitting in the chair. The water comes down. You know, I mean, that's you on the weekend, actually.
Yeah, that's what I do every Sunday.
his shower chair.
Yeah.
What do you do for a day job?
A waitress? I don't know. I've never seen Flashdance, so it's...
For some strange reason, I thought she worked in an auto factory, but I may be wrong.
She was a welder at a steel mill.
I was close. I was heading that direction.
You want to do the next question?
I was really close, but not close enough.
Waitress, welder, same thing.
What is the name of the all-female baseball team in A League of Their Own?
Oh, man.
Oh,
that's what do you think?
The Tom Hanks team. I don't know.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball. God, I can visualize that movie in my head. I have seen it several times over, but I did not pay attention to their jerseys at all. I was stuck on how pretty Gina Davis was. What is it? Yeah, give us a hint.
It's a fruit.
Oh man.
Think of the color of their jerseys too.
Grapefruit?
In the state of Georgia.
Peaches.
The Rockford Peaches.
The
yes.
Rockford Peaches. Okay, all right, there we go, see? There's no grapefruits in baseball.
It's like the bananas? That's not right.
No, they weren't yellow. No.
Which character was the leader of the Pink Ladies in Greece?
Ooh, the Pink Ladies in Greece. So we're talking about Greece as in the Olivia Newton-John.
Yes.
John Travolta.
Grease Lightning.
Rizzo? That's coming to mind?
Yes,
yeah.
Rizzo.
Okay. Yeah.
Look at you. Tim Church on the board. Rizzo.
Who stars alongside Jennifer Lopez in The Wedding Planner?
The Wedding Planner. Golly. Good movie, classic movie. I know only because she was hot in Mortal Kombat and she was hot in that movie. Bridget Wilson was really on my mind in that movie.
Was it Matthew McConaughey?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Tim Church with
good,
two.
Good. Yeah. Tim Church on the board with two.
All right, you've taken
the lead. I'm sorry, I was focused on Bridget Wilson. You were focused on Matthew McConaughey.
This is like, whose line is it anyways? The points don't matter.
Nice. Your lead does not matter.
West Side Story is inspired by which William Shakespeare play?
Okay, you got an answer here, big boy?
I'm fairly certain it's going to be Romeo and Juliet.
Look at you. Check out the big brain on Brad. I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
In Marley and Me, what breed of dog was Marley?
Golden Retriever.
Yes, a Labrador Retriever. Golden Retriever,
different.
It's the same thing.
It's different.
It's almost the same thing.
No, it's not.
It's a retriever.
Yes, but
I'm giving the point.
Different breeds.
The point doesn't matter.
They are not. They're.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, hey, wow.
Wow.
Sorry. Wow.
Not Owen Wilson. Wait, no, he is in that movie. That's right. I forgot.
Wow. What do we got to be in camouflage? The big bad quail doesn't see me?
In Mamma Mia, how many possible fathers does Sophie have?
Sophie's got three possible fathers.
That is correct.
We still think it's
Pierce
Brosnan.
Can you name all the fathers? The actors who played them. I don't even know it, honestly, but I just wanted to see if you guys
Pierce
did.
Pierce Brosnan, Colin Firth, and then Skarsgård.
It could be worse fathers, that's for sure.
Bill Skarsgård, yeah, I went 3 for 3. Wowza! We still think it's Pierce Brosnan's character, honestly. Or at least I think it's Pierce Brosnan.
In which film does Amy Adams star as Princess from Andalusia?
Andalusia?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, man.
Enchanted or Disenchanted?
It is Enchanted, yes.
Enchanted, yeah. Yeah.
Which film is set around the Whistle Stop Cafe?
One of my favorite movies of all times, Mary Stuart Masterson. Kathy Bates. Oh, man. Iconic. Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yep. All right.
She's trying to teach me how to cook.
In The House Bunny, where Shelley asked to leave after her 27th birthday.
Oh, what? I know the answer. The Playboy Mansion.
Yep.
I love that movie.
How many times have you seen that movie?
At least a dozen. Anna Faris is a peach.
She is.
Who was the first Disney princess?
Ooh, okay. Oh, man. I should know this, and if I get it wrong, I'm just... Is it Snow White?
Yes, from
okay.
the half.
I was torn between Snow White and Cinderella. Thanks, Mom. Mom for the win.
What is the name of the cappella group that Becca joins in Pitch Perfect?
Ooh, I should know this.
The Barda something.
I've got you if you don't.
Yeah, you're gonna have to take it because it's not coming to me. It's not coming.
The Barden Bellas.
Correct.
What color letter does Olive stitch to her clothes in Easy A?
Red.
That's correct.
The scarlet letter.
Now, do you remember why it's the letter A?
Adulterer.
You're not supposed to give him the answer.
You adulteress, you.
All right. In which film does Julia Roberts play Shelby Eatonton Latchery?
Shelby Eaton Latchery? Which film does Julia Roberts play Shelby Eatonton Latchery?
I don't know. Yeah, it's not coming to me. I have no clue.
I'm gonna throw myself out here on a whim. My best friend's wedding?
No, it is Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias. Wow. I thought about going back in time a little bit and saying like Mystic Pizza, but yeah, that's
I was
wrong.
Like, I gotta end it on a hard one and see if they can get
that's
it.
That's tough. Not. No, I mean we didn't do too bad, did we?
No, I think we did all right. You know.
The curveballs were there. Man, I mean, when you guys throw some curveballs. I give you all the props, mad props.
Thank you, guys. Also, thank you for showing up, coming over here and being a part of our group, our little chat today. It's been a heck of a time. I've loved it. I've loved every minute of this. I know Garrett has. This whole Branson Con has been fantastic. But now that we're wrapping it up, what has been your favorite part of the whole con?
You know, I would just say the fact that the con came together as well as it did. It seemed like everybody out here is having a really great time. The exhibition floor looks really good. The special guests were awesome. David Eddings, huge shout out to him. Kevin Sorbo has been a delight from start to finish. The fact that we had the Power Rangers here. And you know what's cool, guys, is coming together like this with fandoms, nerds and geeks together. We get an opportunity to come together as a family, a nerd family, but we also get to show support to the kids in the Ozarks, the Boys and Girls Club. That's what makes this kind of stuff special, being able to do this together.
Yeah, I mean, same goes for me on all facets of what Josh just mentioned, and I couldn't agree more about us all just being a family. I love these cons. You know, you get to know some of the cosplayers, you get to know some of the vendors. Every time you go to a new con, it's honestly like a big nerdy family reunion, you know? It's just a great experience, and it's wonderful to have an environment where nerds can come just to be nerds, okay? To be around same people that love the same fandoms that they do. It's a fantastic experience, and if people aren't coming out to Comic-Cons, they really ought to give it a try. They won't regret it.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's been a really fun time. This is our first time having a booth, you know, and it's really fun, too, because, I mean, we're promoting our podcast. We're not selling anything. We're just giving away stickers. We're just talking to people about, hey, you like listening to podcasts, you know, if you don't, here you go anyways, listen to us. If you do, or, you know, I'll try to get them to talk about, like, if I see them with a Star Wars shirt, I'll, you know, try to talk to them about Star Wars, you know, things like that. That's always fun to do because you don't get to do that on a regular basis a lot of times. At that, or it's just us two talking, which, you know, it's...
And who knows, maybe next year Branson Con 2021 could be hosted by Nerd Informants and Critically Awesome.
That would be a pretty cool combination, guys. I want to say this just again. Thanks for having Tim and I on the podcast with you guys. I will say this. You guys have got something special going on. Keep it up. And our nerd community and your community, we can't wait to hear that next episode. Just keep it going on, man. You guys got something good.
It'll be here later on this week. Check it out on criticallyawesome.net.
We'll do it. We'll be there. Be informed and check out Critically Awesome Podcast.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Thank you, guys. So, Garrett, now that the Comic-Con is officially wrapping up today, what has been your big takeaway from this weekend?
I would say that probably my favorite thing of us getting to do this Comic-Con is that just getting to promote our podcast. Like, I think I was scared a little bit at first to see how – I was more nervous than scared, but more nervous about how that was going to happen. And I think that has probably been the most rewarding part of this whole weekend is that we get to just talk about our podcast to random people and not really just like shove it down their face kind of thing, but just like make conversations out of it.
Listen
you know?
To my podcast or else. That's how I feel as well. I mean, as we speak right now, we're still waiting on two really big interviews.
Possible
interviews. I mean,
these will be extra bonuses on these episode or these interviews if we do get them.
Yeah, these interviews are really big. One of them is with David Eddings. He is the voice actor of Claptrap from Borderlands 3. And then also Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules in the early 90s and also in Xena.
Yeah, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's a good life lesson, definitely, to try maybe pursue it a little bit more, maybe, you know, next time. But I enjoyed our two interviews that we did have. Josh Farley and the Nerd Informants. The Nerd Informants was a really awesome interview that we had. Definitely a lot of prospects in that interview. I highly believe that. So maybe you guys later on might be able to hear them again in other later episodes, possibly.
And then, you know, they also said that there's a good chance that we could, you know, help them host next season.
Yeah,
so
that'd be fun.
So FranciCon 2021, hosted by Nerd Informants and Critically Awesome. Wouldn't that just be critically awesome?
Trenton, what else did you enjoy about the con?
I honestly enjoyed all the cosplayers that were out here today. We had some really cool-looking people this weekend. And I especially enjoyed talking with Tim Church and Josh and all them with Nerd Informants and also with Josh Farley. The guy was great, very down-to-earth guy, as you can tell from the podcast. I mean, we were his very first podcast, and he freaked out just as much as we did when he secured it with us.
What was one of your favorite cosplays that you saw?
You know, it's kind of a tie. I really enjoyed seeing the Predator.
That was cool.
A really cool one. And then also, it was a three-way tie. The mech suit from the Fallout games was really cool.
Yeah.
Because he also had the music playing, too, in the suit. And then also, the Mandalorian that kept walking, that is still walking around today. And then we also had, there was a girl who dressed up in three different costumes throughout the entire weekend, one for each day. The very first day on Friday, she was Mickey Mouse, and that was really cool because the kids absolutely loved Mickey Mouse. So did my mom, and so they got a lot of pictures with her, and she was fantastic. Like, she looked like she was plucked straight out of Disney World and was just having a ball with it. Yesterday she was Sonic the Hedgehog and absolutely just absorbed herself into that role too. And today, what is she, Garrett?
I think I don't remember his name, but it's from Little Shop of Horrors. It's the guy. I can't remember his name.
I didn't watch Little Shop of Horrors, but I knew that that's what it was
but
from.
But it has Daughtry 2, I think is the plant's name. I don't quote me on that. But I think one of my favorite ones, I had a couple favorites. I got to see a Critical Role characters come to life. I thought that was really awesome because it was Caleb and Knott. And it was just, I think it was a father and a daughter cosplay, which was really cool. I really liked
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson's Joker, and then his daughter, the guy's daughter.
I liked that one too.
Dressed
that was
up like the Joker as well. I thought that was really cool. And then I also really liked just seeing a lot of the Renaissance Festival people walk around too, because I like going to Renaissance festivals and seeing all those dress ups. So, but I think that was some of my favorite cosplays for sure.
We're over here with our head on a swivel, keep looking for David Eddings to pop up any minute, or even Kevin Sorbo.
Also, I really enjoy, like, the people who run this con. They're very friendly, very helpful. They're willing to do anything for you, it seems like.
They are working very hard for no money at all. These guys are really...
I think no money. They don't get paid for this. It's all volunteer work.
Most of it is most of these people here are working
so
volunteer
definitely
work.
Definitely, guys, thank you for throwing this con on and just allowing... Critically Awesome to be part of it, and just all the other vendors that get to be part of this. We have some really great vendors sitting right next to us. They're very friendly people. They're awesome people. You know, it's really just great to get to
It's been really fun to get
network,
to know these guys.
Essentially,
it
know?
Really has. Our two neighbors that we've had, they've been so fun to talk to, so fun to be with. They are our local people who are trying to make a living and doing that through, arts and crafts. And so if you find them on Etsy or anything like that, give me that card over there, Garrett. Galaxy of Pixels is a great one to find on Etsy. So go to etsy.com/shop/galaxyofpickles. Pixels.
Not pickles.
Not pickles. Galaxy of Pixels.
That's a different Etsy.
That's a different Etsy. They make all their stuff with pickles. They have some fantastic artwork. I showed them on one of our Facebook Live photos. And they are not paying us for this. This is 100% free promotion for them because we definitely want them to succeed. And then also check out Paparazzi. I don't know if they're on Etsy or not, but I do know that they have been fantastic. She's got several different jewelries and stuff like that. Or go to www.paparazziaccessories.com. That's PAPARAZZIACCESSORIES.com. Fantastic jewelry. These people have been amazing. I absolutely love them. We also have people across from us called Ear Resistible, clip-on animal ears. They have a website called MarshallWearDirect.com.
And it's Marshall with two L's.
Yes, Marshall
like.
With two L's. And also, don't forget to support your local Boys and Girls Club. The local Boys and Girl Club of the Ozarks has been amazing out here this weekend. They have done a raffle and everything like that for this. And if you have a Boys and Girls Club around your area, be sure to support the local Boys and Girls Club because it is a great cause for great kids. So, another one is Swin Dispensaries. Smokable hemp dispensary in Hollister and also in Springfield, Missouri, the Midwest's.
They're just really two great guys that know what they're talking about, and they're two guys that we went to high school with, and here Trent will tell you more about their actual
company.
It's
the Midwest's first hemp dispensary, exclusive and award-winning genetics, premium, classy, and kind dispensaries located in Hollister and in Springfield, Missouri. With CBD flowers for the best hemp high. Stop in store or online at swinsdispensaries.com. That's Swin, SWIN, dispensaries, DISPENSARIES.com. Those guys are great. They're trying to help you out the best way that they can, medically and medicinally. It's the same thing.
So, Trenton, what do you think about, since this is our first con and stuff, do you think we'll come out back next year and, get to do this all again?
Definitely. We'll definitely be coming back around next year. Even if we don't host, we will definitely be getting a booth. Because honestly, it's the word of mouth is what gets us the best. And we are loving every minute of this con and... just talking with all these people, getting our name out there and spread. We're going to be growing hugely, as our current sitting president would say, hugely. And the fact that we're not having to shove our podcast down people's throats so that they're actually wanting to listen to it and are very excited about it, it makes me feel like we're on the very edge of just exploding. So... I've told Garrett this, and I've told my mother this as well, that I feel like we're an arrow, and we're being drawn back on a bow right now, and we're just getting ready to be shot off. But our arrow guy seems to really like to hold the arrow for a long time to make sure he aims perfectly.
Yep. So we hope you have enjoyed this episode of Critically Awesome, guys, and we'll catch you guys next time.
You can find all things Critically Awesome at our website, criticallyawesome.net. Or if you ever just want to get in contact with us, email us at criticallyawesome2015@gmail.com. You can also find us on any of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and more. Also, for your listening pleasure, You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, or anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcast.
We hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode of Season 3, Episode 1. We'll definitely see you guys next time. I am Garrett, and I'm Critically Awesome.
And I'm Trent, and I'm Critically Awesome. And remember, guys, stay awesome.